Hey, this is Nathan Jenkins from Loon Mountain Ministry, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. We welcome you to join us, the trees, the rocks, and all of creation, as we worship our great God. Enjoy the message.
Last minute substitution. Marcus was supposed to do this, but I get a hug from him, and then he shoves this right in my hands. So this is super long, so what we're going to do is I'm just going to read through it. If you want to follow along silently, that's fine, but this will just be a run-through, because if we do it like we usually do it, we will be here forever. All righty. So this is Luke chapter 15, 11 through 32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He is lost and now is found.'"
Thank you, Will. Am I working? Can you hear me? I'm going to guess this is Drew's. I can't even see over it. Theoretically. All right, well, I'm Mike. I'm usually the sound guy. They promoted me for this week because Marcus said he was going to be tired after the auction. And I agree with him. All right. Well, let's pray. Well, Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your word. I ask that you use the Holy Spirit with me and with everyone here, so that we all understand. And as I unpack your word, we culturally understand what happened, and we understand the message that's behind this. In Jesus' holy and precious name, I pray. Well, good morning, everyone. This is a nice short text, so I got to fly so Heidi doesn't kick me off the stage. All right, so this parable actually is three sections. It's not three parables. You have the first two that we're going to skip over today because I definitely wouldn't be able to do all three. But I will go back to the first piece, which says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So that's the audience, the very righteous and the sinners and lost. So we identify with both of these. Luke 15:11, commonly known as the prodigal son in Western culture, is not known as the prodigal son in Middle Eastern culture. It's known as the running father. The running father, as we'll see later, is a much better name. The prodigal son means basically there was a good son and a bad son. And we're going to see that that's not true. And he said, there was a man that had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, give me my share of the property that is coming to me. So what he basically said is, I'm tired of waiting for you to die. I want my inheritance. Not very nice. For those of you who are young, you need to wait until your parents die. So one thing that we don't experience in this culture, that that culture did experience, is the elder son was the one who was in charge of the other children. So he kept them in line. He was the peacemaker. He was the mediator. The reason why is if the father was to die, the elder son would take over the responsibilities that the father had in the family. So the Pharisees, our grumblers in the corner, are probably yelling at this point, where is the elder son? His silence is deafening. Why is he not beating the younger son and begging the father for forgiveness and mercy? But you hear nothing. He's deafening silence. He divided the property between them. Now, it's called a hermeneutical hint. The word them means he gave it to both sons. The elder son would have gotten twice the portion of any other child. So he got two-thirds of the inheritance, and the younger son got one-third. So we don't have a case of a good son and a bad son. We have a case of two sons who have a broken relationship with their father. Completely different story. Let's see. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. So he didn't get to take a lot of the money that he probably would have gotten because he had to sell it fast. And if you have to sell things fast, you don't get as much as you could for that property. And he certainly didn't take all of the property with him. So he sold it, probably pennies on the dollar, and off he went to a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. It'd be more accurate from the Greek to say extravagant living. Extravagant living means things like best shoes, the nicest tunic, a camel with two humps instead of one, some shiny shoes on the polished hooves rather on the camels, and then silk reins. That's considered kind of reckless living, spending money on things that you really don't need. And when he had everything, had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the field to feed the pigs. Okay, in that culture, if you owned a business or a farm, and someone came to you and said, I need a job, you could not say no. You had to give them a job. But what ordinarily you would do, if you didn't want them to work for you, is you would give them a job that they didn't want to do. So he was a Jew, and he said, go feed the pigs, thinking he's not going to take this job. But he did. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. So today we feed pigs slop. They didn't feed pigs slop. They fed them carob pods. Carob pods are undigestible by humans. So therefore, he couldn't eat what the pigs ate, which means he probably, with the second half of the statement, was standing by the fence begging from passersby, and they didn't give him anything either. But when he came to himself, it's really an interesting way to phrase it. Thank you. When he came to himself, was really talking about, I'm going to die if I don't eat. So I'm thinking about my stomach. I'm not thinking about repentance here. I'm thinking about how do I get my stomach full? And he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven and before you. Okay, Pharisees just went nuts again, and probably the sinners and tax collectors if they were Jews, because they would recognize this as what Pharaoh said to Moses. Every time he got the plague going, and Pharaoh would go, I give up. I've sinned against God, heaven, and you. So they looked at this as, how many times did Pharaoh do that? Seven times. Because he wasn't repentant. He just wanted to get what he wanted. So they would have instantly said, this guy's a fraud. He's not repenting. He's not going back to his father for forgiveness. He's going back to his father because he's hungry. It also said, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. So there's a ceremony that Jesus doesn't mention because it was just part of the society at that point. It's called the Kazazar ceremony. So there's a couple different ways it could have happened. One is when the son left, they would have filled a clay pot with burnt beans and herbs, and they would have broken it. The townspeople would have broken it with rocks. And that was the symbol that that person was cut off from that village, from that society. He had left the Jewish village to go live among Gentiles. Others say that it happened when the son would have arrived. They would have broken the pot in front of him, humiliated him, and driven him out of town before he could have gotten to the father. Either way, he would have either been humiliated and driven out or actually killed. There's two incidences in historical documents where we see that they built lines and they forced the guy to run through the lines and they would stone him. And in both cases, the person died. So basically, he knew, this is a good shot, I'm going to die, but I'm going to starve to death anyway, so let's let it rip. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. What does this remind you of? It reminds you of what Jesus did for us on the cross and how when we repent and come to him, most of the time we don't know what we're repenting for, because as we read the Bible, we find out all the extra sins we were doing that we didn't know about. So as he was running and the father kissed him, in that culture, he gave him a Marcus hug, kissed him on the neck, kissed him on the cheek, kissed him on the other cheek, and back to the first cheek. That was a sign of peace and reconciliation. So before the son could say a word, the father had run to him and kissed both cheeks and his neck, which said, we are reconciled, you are forgiven. That's kind of amazing, because the son hasn't done anything. Much like us, when we come back to Christ or come to Christ for the first time, he doesn't wait for us to be on our knees. He simply forgives us and reconciles with us. So let's now talk about him running. Women, have you run in long gowns? I know you have, Marcus. If you're going to run in a long gown, you either shuffle really badly, like me walking, or you hike it up and you run. Well, you see, that brought great shame. In fact, it is written in the Talmud, the interpretations of the Talmud, that Pharisees were not allowed to walk through unplowed fields. Why? They would have had to hike their tunic up because there's plants everywhere. Or the briars, as you get into a field, would have ripped it. So he's running across, and he's the one with the shame. But there's a reason he ran. If he didn't run, what would have happened? The villagers would have gotten between him and the son, and they either would have at least cast the son away, if not killed him. So the father's running was required. when we think about the cross, Jesus endured all the shame, all the suffering, all the pain for us. And we did nothing. We were still in our sins. It also seems interesting that the son forgot the last part of what he rehearsed. He had rehearsed, make me your servant. He forgot that part. But his heart had changed. When he saw the reconciliation and the acceptance, he was now remorseful. He wasn't just, how do I get food? But he realized how broken his relationship was. His father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand. Now, the ring signifies today you can sign checks, you can sign contracts. That signet ring was an impression. So he basically said, all I have is yours again because I'm giving you the rights to be able to disseminate the money and sign contracts. And shoes, sandals on his feet. Okay, that eliminates the slave thought. Slaves did not wear sandals. Only free people did. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Cooking the fatted calf would kind of be equal to today's society, putting it on Instagram and any other social media saying, Marcus is having a party. This was a small village. Later in the Bible, it talks about this village not having walls. That means it's small, which means, one, everybody knew everybody's business. You guys probably know that from a small town like Lincoln, right? There's no secrets in Lincoln. So everybody knew what was going on. The father wasn't like sitting there saying, no, everything's great. Nothing's happened. No, everybody knew what happened. And they could smell the fatted calf being burned, and that meant party time. So they were all joining in. Now, his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants. Greeks actually suggest it was a young boy. This isn't like a man. This was a young boy. And asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. Your father, let's underline this, your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. So this isn't about your son came back. This is about the father accepting the son and celebrating. But he was angry and refused to go in. Okay, think of it this way. Abishai stands outside on front row, you did it. Stands in the front yard on Christmas when Marcus has all the family over, all his friends over, and she's just letting them have it. Don't do this, Abishai. So we start with, he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. Abishai, have you ever been so mad you just start making stuff up? Husbands, yes. Wives, yes. Children, yes. Okay, so that covers everyone. With that, we know that the one word for that person is liar. You have 2/3. In fact, you have everything now because the younger son squandered his. So everything that's left is actually the elder son's. So guess what? The you never gave me anything? That's not working. But when this son of yours came who has devoured your property with prostitutes. Okay, back up. When did Jesus say he spent it on prostitutes? He never did. The elder son sees red, starts making it up. unless I'm unaware of the Mossad or CIA having satellite coverage and tracking him into these prostitutes. Yeah, no, he was just making it up. He was so angry. As we start to identify the people here, as we're getting towards the end, I am flying. You're identifying the people as the Pharisees, the self-righteous. Now, we like to just focus on the Jewish Pharisees, but we have a ton of self-righteous Christians out there that fall into the same bucket. That's the older brother. And the younger brother is the sinner and tax collectors. The sinners who have walked away from God and come back, who have walked to God for the first time, or who are kind of on the fence about being an agnostic, prove it. Well, when they finally come, that's the younger son, and that's the sinners and tax collectors. The Pharisees and scribes, Pharisees did 613 laws a day they followed every day. What did the scribes do? Check the boxes. And the scribes also interpreted the scripture for them. So they are super self-righteous. And that's how you got to bucket these two, as you start to think about these two children that have broken relationships with the father. You killed a fattened calf for him. And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours." It is, and that's true, right? We just discussed. He's got all of it. There's nothing else. "It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is now alive. He was lost and is found." And that's how Jesus left it. Now, the Pharisees knew what he was saying. And he never came back. It's kind of like you watch a movie, and it just drops. Like, the credits start rolling, and you're like, "Oh, must be a sequel I've got to go see now." There's no sequel. He literally just says, that's it. We don't know. Did the Pharisees, did the self-righteous decide? He's right. I'm going to go in and get his forgiveness and accept my brother. Or he's going to continue to do what Abishai does, stand out front and yell. So in the end, we always want to look at this story from the perspective of Jesus is the whole parable. Jesus, this is about Jesus. Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the shepherd. And Jesus is the person who helps the lady find the lost coin. So this is a complete parable about himself. And he's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about our condition as having a broken relationship with the Father. And he talks about how that Father welcomes us in long before we're repentant. Usually we're looking for some type of way out of the mess we're in. And Jesus was there. And as we grow in our sanctification with Jesus, more and more we realize how much we've sinned and how much we continue to sin. Thank you, Abishai, for playing along. Well, let's pray. And I've got this down to the 20 minutes that I need to do on top of the mountain. Well, Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the alliterations and the depth that we were able to unpack it in. We now see very clearly that this is a story about two sons with broken relationships with their father. We are one or both of those sons. We've had broken relationships with you. Sometimes we walk and we feel distance from you, but you still welcome us back every time, before we can say anything. I ask that every person be able to connect with the text and the meaning that Jesus brought to us through this text. And I ask that you continue to bless this ministry and you continue to make a lot of snow. In Jesus' holy and precious name, I pray these things.
Thanks for listening. We here at Loon Mountain Ministry are committed to loving God, serving community, and enjoying mountains. We want to thank you for being a part of our collective high five this week as we seek to be a light in the White Mountains and all around the world. Please feel free to reach out to us at info@loonmtnministry.com so we can get more connected. See you guys.